Hey friend, that's some great recommendations there for remote working apps. I also wanted just to chime in and say that there's another one that Facebook has developed. I'm not sure if you've covered it yet in your broadcast, but it's the Workplace and Work Chat apps. As an entrepreneur and small business owner, we used to use Slack, but I found it a little confusing and a little scattered. So I really like this one from Facebook. We've converted our entire organization over to it, and it's really good. It's intuitive. It's something that people are used to, and something that they're used to the user interface and the format. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Keep up the great station. Love listening.
So just to add to Dave's comments, Dave is from an anchor station called Dave on Business. I really appreciate his comment on remote working tools. It is great that there are so many options outside of the regular Slack. Now, Slack is obviously one of the leading ones. Slack is a tool that is used to communicate. It's pretty complex when you get started, but once everyone knows it, there tends to be a pretty good synergy inside of a team. But you are right, Dave. There is Facebook Workplace, which is a good resource out there that many people are using. It's called Facebook at Work, and it's actually becoming incredibly popular. So if you're someone that wants an alternative to Slack, then Facebook at Work is a good option. So feel free to check that one out. That is a good recommendation by Dave in Business.
Hi, Francesco. Jonathan here, really enjoying your show. Just wanted to share my own recommendation for an app which I love telling people about. It's called Full Contact. And the reason why I love this app is, so basically I live in New York. I try to go to a lot of events, meet a lot of people, end up at the end of the evening with a ton of business cards, which I know I should go through, I should follow up with individually. But that's really hard to do manually. So what Full Contact allows you to do is that the app allows you to take an image of the business card, it will transcribe it, but the best thing about it, I find, is it integrates with Zapier. So you can do all kinds of things. What I generally tend to do is I send an immediate follow-up email that's basically triggered automatically, and it basically just emails the person and says, hi, first name, it's personalized, it says, lovely to meet you recently, here's, you know, a link to my mailing list and so forth. So hope you enjoy the recommendation, loving the show.
Thanks very much to Jonathan for those recommendations there. Now, Full Contact is a business card scanning app, which is pretty neat. And as you can see, Jonathan uses it for when he attends his tech meetups, which is great. And it is another alternative as well. Evernote have a pretty neat business card scanner inside of their Evernote Premium experience. And there's another one on the App Store called Ping. Now, this is a relatively new one. It's growing rapidly, and it's very easy to use. Like, you create your own business card, and then everyone else who has Ping or even has an email address will be able to connect with you straight away. So it's quite a modern way of connecting with a business card. So that's some great recommendations. Thank you very much to Jonathan. Make sure to check out his anchor station, because there's lots of content there to enjoy.
Hi, I just listened to your post about Instapaper, and I've been using Pocket for years, which is another like article clipping or saving tool. And I don't know if you've used it before, but if you have, if you knew kind of the differences between that and Instapaper, and if there's any reason for me maybe to switch and give it a try. I kind of gotten bored with the interface and feel of Pocket. So if Instapaper might be a better alternative, I might just go ahead and switch over and try something new. So thanks for your help, and looking forward to hearing your answer.
That's a great question. Would you move from Pocket to Instapaper? What are the sort of difference between Instapaper and Pocket? Thank you very much to Popcorn Cinema for asking that one. Now, Pocket is an application I used to use as well. I found it very easy to use, and I quite like the recommendations they brought to the table. Now, the one thing I moved away from, the reason I moved away from it, was because I used a service called Newton, which is an email app which connects with Instapaper. So that is the reason that I moved away, just because I thought I could clip things from email much faster. So only because of the integrations. There's slightly more integrations on iOS and Mac. So if you're an iOS and Mac user, They have more ways for you to clip things. So that's the only reason. They're very similar in experiences. Instapaper has become a bit more open recently. I think it's because they got bought out, but it's something definitely worth checking out. Both of them are great applications.
Happy birthday, Francesco. I just wanted to respond to your birthday wish and ask about a new category of apps. I was wanting to know about email tracking. I recently got a plugin called MixMatch, which plugs directly into my Gmail, and it allows me to get analytics on my emails, like when people have opened it, how many clicks have happened, how many downloads, replies, etc., etc. I was wondering if you've used any email tracking apps before, and what your thoughts are. If there are any other ones out there, please let me know. Cheers.
Hey Patrick, sorry for the super late reply. It's been a month since my birthday today, so I apologized for the late reply. But yes, I wanted to address your question of email and tracking, because I'm sort of in this space, I work in this space as well, so I've sort of got a fairly good insight, maybe a biased one, but something that I've actually been following for a lot longer than many people think. I've been following it for just over a year and a half now. And sort of, I did, when I first was thinking about email tracking apps, I actually used to use a service called Boomerang inside of Gmail. Again, the one thing that helped me move away is to understand that, you know, these resources are great because they connect into browsers, but when you want to move away to it from a browser on the iOS app, or even when you're on your Mac and you're offline, they don't work. So that's a real pain point. So I actually moved to something called Newton Mail, where I work as well. So again, bias, but the application is so much better because it's all embedded, it's all inside it. You can send later, you can track an email, the status of it, and whether it's been clicked, etc. And it's all inside there. It doesn't have to be installed, plugged in, or even considered. So there are plenty of them out there, MailTrack and Boomerang and things like that, but Newton seems to do a much smarter job at it. I hope that helped, Patrick. Thanks for the nice birthday message. I'm looking forward to connecting with you here on Anchor in the near future.
Hey Francesco, this is Ryan Cortez from the Anchor Station Full Screen Ahead. I was wondering your thoughts on web apps versus native apps in your productivity workflow. Being an iOS developer myself, I'm a little biased in this regard. Look at things like Todoist on the Mac and become disappointed since it's just a web app wrapped in native Chrome if you try to download it from the Mac App Store. But yeah, I'm curious what your workflow looks like and what percentage is native apps and what percentage is web apps.
Hey Ryan, that is a great question. Whether native apps and web apps are different, and of course they are. I recently tried out an application called MilaNote, and for the web, it's sort of a bit laggy, and on Mac, it was a lot faster, or slightly faster, and it made it a lot easier because when I was offline, I could modify things and save it for later, and I didn't necessarily have to have an off-online access, which is nice. So I much prefer, in a sort of comforting position, to use native applications because I know that they will store all of the information locally. Now, if you're someone who is considering whether to download the full app onto your device, make sure to consider the free space, of course, but I would naturally go for the native option if you're going to be comfortably using it every single day. Anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed that one. Thank you very much.
Loving the content, my friend. This is Brian Fanzo, iSocial Fans. Big tech geek. I host two tech podcasts, and I'm also a big fan of different apps. I'm actually going through a launch of an app with a client right now. But when you brought up news apps, you know, I talk a lot about Flipboard. I know you brought up Feedly, but Flipboard has drastically changed so much for me. It's where I consume content on my iPhone or iPad. It's where I consume content. It's where I create content, it's actually where I share content, and it's actually the number two driver of traffic to my website as well, as Flipboard allows you to have subscribers and subscribers to different boards that you have, and I've flipped a lot of content in there and now collaborate with other people on there. And so for me, Flipboard is a game changer, it is a time saver, and without question, my favorite news app. Hope that helps.
Hey Brian, that's a great recommendation there. Flipboard is an awesome application. It's available on iOS and Android too, and it's a way for you to, I would say, most interactive experience for viewing news and information. And I like one of the features on there, you know, you talked about it, about creating your own magazine. That's a really neat feature. You know, naturally, I'm still using Feedly, but again, Flipboard is a fantastic solution. So thanks to Brian for mentioning that one, and I appreciate that he follows my content. Feel free to go and check out his stuff. He talks a lot about social media and things like that, so it's pretty deep and pretty beneficial if you're a small business or even just a professional.
Yeah, so any advice you could give me on editing apps, or maybe I need to... sounds like you've already done a podcast on editing apps, video editing apps, would be really helpful. It sounds like I could possibly do my Periscopes and then turn them into some sort of watchable YouTube video with just all the juicy bits of questions and answers. Yeah, any info from you, any advice would be really appreciated. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, Mark, thanks for the message. Sorry about the super late reply, because I've been trying to catch up with all the call-ins and I thought I'd batch them all into one little segment. So yes, editing apps are really beneficial. Obviously, you will probably want to develop some of your existing content. Sounds like your Periscope and a few things like that. Naturally, you want to be able to create them into other stuff. So I used to start with YouTube Editor, which was like a really dead simple experience, but they've actually shut that down recently. What I recommend for yourself, if you're looking to invest some good money into it, I think I spent about £150 or like $200 on an editing software called Camtasia. It's available on Mac and PC. It's pretty easy to use and great to get started with. But if you're looking for a free option, there is versions of like Sony Vegas on PC and a couple of like iMovie on Mac is a great way to start off. Like, you want to keep everything low budget. I only invested in Camtasia like in the last 3 months because I needed it for work and I needed to make better videos in all sense. So thanks very much for the question. Good question, Mark. I actually do have a podcast on this. Make sure to check it out in the episode. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Cheers.
Hi, I'd be very interested in getting your 2 cents on the best list of apps that relate to VR, AR.
That is a great question, AJ. AR and VR are probably one of the growing things inside of tech at the moment. And it's something that I definitely want to be checking out. There are plenty of apps at the moment. I've only been able to explore a few on Android, mainly because they've been recommended resources. VR is something that, again, is very Android focused at the moment and not very iOS. You've got Google Cardboard, which has a lot of experiences on your Google device. So I use Google Cardboard occasionally. And I think I've played a few bike dinosaur games on there, which have been pretty manic. The other thing that I recommended the other day to people on iOS or Android devices is jumping onto YouTube and seeing what's available on the Cardboard content. Once you click the Cardboard button, put the VR device on, it becomes a 360 video, which means that you can watch it in VR mode. Very cool, very easy. Again, Apple is going to be releasing the AR kit very soon, so you'll see a lot more AR applications available on iOS devices and on the App Store. So do stay tuned. I think you'll like it, AJ. Don't worry, there'll be plenty of more VR apps and AR apps coming to iOS.